This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying tuned. I'm Shaoning and this is the Morning Run with Lin Ma. It has just gone past 7:18 in the morning. It's the Thursday, the 7th of January, and in about half an hour, we'll detangle all the politics that's happening at the moment between UMNO and Bersatu with Ben Sufian of the Merdeka Center. Meanwhile, we are running a poll on our Twitter account. What are the details of that poll, Lin?
So we are asking you, can UMNO win big in GE15 on its own? We've had about 100 votes already so far in the 20 minutes that the poll's been open. And the majority here, 75%, say no, they can't win big on their own. 10% said yes, another 16% said not sure. Do continue to let us know what you think about this over at BFM Radio.
Yes, but in the meantime, we are turning our attention to the economy because the competition for foreign direct investment, or FDI, will be fierce this year as every economy strives to chart a sustainable path to recovery in the wake of the pandemic. But there are concerns that Malaysia is falling behind in terms of attracting FDI.
And we know there's a lot of interest in ASEAN as an investment destination. In 2019, the region pulled in a record $156 billion, according to the UN trade agency UNCTAD. However, three countries, namely Indonesia, Vietnam, and Singapore, received more than 80% of FDI. Only 5%, or just under $8 billion, went to Malaysia. Similarly, foreign investors have been pretty lukewarm when it comes to our local equities. Foreign outflows reached nearly 25 billion ringgit last year, surpassing the levels in 2015.
So, of course, the big question is, why is Malaysia less attractive for FDI and how do we glow up the nation for foreign investors? So joining us to discuss this is Firdaus Rosli, Senior Economist at the Malaysian Rating Corporation Berhad, otherwise known as MARC. Now, Firdaus, let's focus on the short-term flows, because last year, foreign net selling of local equities on Bursa Malaysia reached, like we said, nearly 25 billion ringgit. Now, what drives foreign fund flows and is this trend something to be worried about?
Hi, good morning, Shaoning and Lin. You're right, foreign investors sold 24.6 billion on local equities last year. In fact, since 2018, foreign investors were the net sellers of local equities amounting to 47.4 billion. But to be clear, there's no one single event that led to this event. If we see since 2018, from the domestic front, it was more of a G14 shock due to the cancellation of mega projects and the slow formation of members of the new cabinet then, the regime change. That was more from the domestic front. But on the external front, we can see that there was the start of the US-China trade war before it became full-blown in 2019. And last year, the search for safe haven was the main driver of our foreign investment, which explains why there was a massive shortfall in foreign investments last year.
But is this a trend that ultimately we should be worried about? Because if I look at the foreign shareholding on the market at this current juncture, I think the latest data shows that it's at 20.9%, which is very close to the all-time low of 20.3% that we saw in 2009. How do we reverse this?
I think it's not a matter of a clear reversal per se, because it gives the question that we should be asking is what is our comparative advantage here vis-a-vis our foreign neighbours, immediate neighbours, that is ASEAN member countries? Because if we can see, we have always been promoting the fact that we are a low-cost country. So come to our country because we can give you cheap labours, low wages, etc. But at this point, I'm not entirely sure whether that can be our comparative advantage vis-a-vis our local, our immediate neighbours, to be fair.
And if we look at bonds, right, how has the pandemic and overall economic outlook affected foreign appetite for Malaysian government securities going into 2021, though?
From the 11 months of last year, local bonds accumulated 14.8 billion of net foreign inflows. I mean, the attractive yield valuation. You can see that foreign holdings of local bonds climbed to 219.4 billion as of November. The highest since November 2016, actually, which brings us to the net foreign participation in local bonds stood at 13.6%. Malaysia's firmer 2021 GDP outlook and stronger international reserves can be the key drivers for this in light of the move towards safe haven.
But is there still that key risk, right, I believe still exists, which is the potential downgrade of Malaysian bonds in the FTSE Russell World Government Bond Index?
Yeah, I think foreign buying momentum is expected to take a hit in the first half of this year, as we expect foreign investors to remain cautious ahead of the FTSE Russell's semi-annual review in March. We expect that Malaysia will be retained in the WGBI, given the positive engagement between policymakers and FTSE Russell.
And since we have you on the line, right, what is your house view with regards to rates this year? Do you see Bank Negara staying pat on the overnight policy rate of 1.75?
I think in light of recent events, the spike of COVID-19 infections, etc., we see a likelihood of OPR adjustments throughout 2021 after the 125 basis point rate cut to a historical low of 1.75 in 2020. So both the domestic and the external demand is expected to recover going forward, but we see further reductions is off the table at the moment.
All right, finally, with regards to the economy, what are your expectations for GDP for 2021, though?
For 2021, while we expect the GDP to contract 5.5 last year, we expect a rebound, so-called V-shaped recovery, of 6.4 in this year.
And for us, let's look at things flows from a longer-term perspective. You know, we keep on going on about Malaysia as attractive FDI destination compared to some of our regional peers. Do you know where we rank in this regard and who puts us behind the leaders?
Actually, the ASEAN statistics that was released in October, I believe, it was pretty telling. Because as you rightly pointed out just now, that Malaysia's share of FDI within the region last year stood about 4.85% compared to what it was 9 years ago, 10 years ago at 8.44. So it's a downward trend as far as our share of FDI is concerned vis-a-vis Malaysia and the rest of our ASEAN neighbors. But this is we are not the only one that is experiencing this, though, to be fair. Indonesia is looking at the same downtrend, Thailand as well. But more interestingly, as I mentioned earlier, the low-cost destinations such as Cambodia, Philippines, and Vietnam has all recorded an uptrend of FDI over the last 10 years. So which gives us, again, the question of what is our national interest as far as investment is concerned. If you're saying that we should go for investments because that would be the driver of growth, then that should be it. But it's quite contradictory when we say that, okay, we want investments, but at the same time, we want domestic investments. When, you know, domestic investments and foreign investments must come hand in hand. You know, there is a direct relationship between FDI and DDI. And I think we cannot disentangle between the discussion between the two, and we have to look at it from a totality. What is our national interest, our investments, whether that would continue to drive our growth? Because as far as the SPV, the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030 is concerned, the driver of growth seems to be, in my view, more about distribution than growth alone. And that can be inflationary. And I'm not sure if that's going to be politically palatable in the near term.
And then very quickly then, what kind of policy measures then should we consider to drive both, you know, this long-term FDI and DDI at the same time then?
I think to start with, we should have a proper discussion about what should be our driver of growth. Because again, going back to the SPV 2030, they mentioned about, you know, wages, about distribution, but how is that distribution is going to be taken shape? Because you can't cut the pie and then give it to everyone when the pie is not growing. So we have to grow the pie first before we can actually cut the pie into smaller chunks. So that's the point here. But the discussion has to take place. And secondly, I think the discussion must also take into account that regardless of whoever in power, that should be our main focus as far as driving growth is concerned. So we can't afford to have, you know, a new regime or a new reconfiguration as far as politics is concerned with the cancellation of mega projects and all that, because that would give a very negative view about where we stand as far as investment is concerned in light of recent events.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Firdaus Rosli, senior economist at the Malaysian Rating Corporation Berhad, otherwise known as Mark, giving his views in terms of how we can attract foreign direct investment. Or maybe his point is basically there seems to be a lack of clarity in terms of what the focus should be. And the policy should be in place nonetheless, regardless of who is in government of the day. Because when you're talking about FDI, you're talking about long-term policies, and there has to be this clarity. Very quickly, your key takeaway?
I think Firdaus asked a good question there, which is what is our competitive advantage, right? Because we can no longer rely on cheap labor as a lure for foreign investors. So what replaces that?
Exactly. But up next, we'll find out the outcome of the Georgia State Senate elections. That's happening after the 7:30 news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.